If you would, take your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 2, verse number 8. And we are going to read verses 8 through verse 20. Verse 8 through verse 20, which I'm sure is a very familiar portion of Scripture to you. It is part of the Christmas story. Let's pray as you make your way to Luke. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a blessing. You have blessed us with untold blessings today. So many blessings we cannot begin to count them. But help us not to forget that our having the health and having the ability to be in your house, to hear your word read, to sing songs about you, to hear your word preached is a blessing. To be with God's people on this day is a blessing. So thank you. And help us, as we receive your blessings of being here, give us the ability to be attentive to your word. Open our minds and our ears to hear, not just hear, but to hear with spiritual ears. And to give us spiritual understanding of your word. Help us to refocus ourselves on the reason for Christmas, and may you be glorified. May you be glorified in all that we do and say, especially around the time that we have set aside to celebrate your birth. Lead us and guide us and direct us. Help us in every way that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And that's God's word, and all God's people said. Each year, beginning at some point in December, we have this time in which we as God's people have to be very diligent and even vigilant in reminding ourselves and reminding our children what the real, true meaning of Christmas is. And we get that meaning from the Scriptures, not from cultural traditions. And the pressure is always being applied to us, and the pressure seems to be getting harder applied to us to relent the Scriptures and simply adhere to traditions. I don't want us to do that. God doesn't get glory that way. And what I want is for God to get glory from you. In his book, Knowing God, which we went through in the auditorium Sunday school class, J.I. Packer writes, quote, "It is here, in the thing that happened at the first Christmas, that the profoundest and most unfathomable depths of the Christian revelation lie. The Word became flesh. God became man. The divine Son became a Jew. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than stare and wiggle and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. And there is no illusion or deception in this. The babyhood of the Son of God was a reality. And the more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as this truth of the incarnation. This is the real stumbling block in Christianity. The incarnation is in itself an unfathomable mystery, but it makes sense of everything else that the New Testament contains." Unquote. And to J.I. Packer, who's now with the Lord, I say, amen. There is nothing you can read. There's nothing you can watch on TV. There's no movie that has ever been made that is as fantastic as the truth that I share with you today, that God has become man. Last week we looked at Genesis 3:15, and I entitled that message, "The Promise of Christmas." And the promise of Christmas given in the pronouncement of judgment and in the cursing of sin and Satan. And what I want to occupy our time and thoughts this morning are these shepherds who were the first to receive the announcement of the birth of the Son of God. Luke begins this particular narrative of the first Christmas story with the declaration or the implication of Roman oppression. The story begins with a call, a declaration of a census. And the reason that Rome is having a census is so they can help them determine better, proper rates for taxation. This declaration by Caesar Augustus required that Joseph and his pregnant wife travel to Bethlehem. Of course, we understand that all of this is in the fulfilling of Old Testament scripture that had already identified Bethlehem as the place where the Messiah would come and be. We also know that as they arrived at Bethlehem, the city is so full of people because of the census that there is no room for them in the inn. So the Son of God is born in a stable among animals, and he slept in a feeding trough for the animals called a manger. And if it were not bad enough that the Son of God was born in these terrible, unclean circumstances, the announcement of his birth is made to the lowest ranking people on the face of the earth called shepherds. To be a shepherd was not a glorious position. It was a lowly position. Shepherds could not even testify in court. They were thought to be liars and crooks. But the announcement of the Son of God is not made in the temple in Jerusalem, but instead it is made in the open field to these lowly shepherds. And it was said in the scripture that we read that suddenly, it wasn't gradually, suddenly the angel appeared to these shepherds and they were filled with fear at the sight of the skies lighting up the heavens and this royal announcement of this wonderful birth. But the angel says there is no room to fear. There is no reason to fear. For the angel has come to bring good news. That will be great joy. And the news is a Savior is born. The intention of God is not to damn sinners or judge sinners. The intention of God is to save sinners. Isn't that wonderful? If you die and go to hell, that's on you. God has done all necessary to make provision for your salvation. And the announcement reveals the grace and the mercy of God toward guilty sinners. God has come to save. God has come to save. God has come to save. It is the greatest news in the history of the world. And as suddenly as the angels appeared, they disappeared back to their heavenly home, and the shepherds go to Bethlehem with haste. They're looking for a baby that is wrapped in strips of clothing, lying in a manger. That must have sounded very strange to them. That's not the normal description of the birth of a baby, especially a baby of this magnitude. But in Bethlehem, they find Mary and they find Joseph and they find the baby just as the angels said they would. And boy, do they have a story to tell. And they tell it. Lights, angels, Son of God, Savior, heavenly chorus. What a story they have to tell. And they tell it. And people are amazed. Mary ponders. Mary tries to process all that the shepherds had reported to her. And after seeing the child telling their story, the shepherds return home. But they do not return home quietly. They return home glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. So here's my question. Why did God, because God's in charge, right? He could have made this announcement to anyone. Why did God choose to announce the birth of His Son to lowly shepherds? Why did God choose shepherds to be the recipients of the greatest message ever delivered to the history of mankind? Well, in trying to answer that question, let me help you notice three things about this particular message, this announcement, this proclamation of Christmas. Number one, notice the inclusive nature of the message, the inclusive nature of the message. The angel says, "Fear not, for behold, look, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to," what's the next word? "All people." The announcement, I think, was made to the lowly and nameless shepherds because they represented all. The good news of Jesus Christ, the joy that comes from knowing that God has stooped to save mankind, that message is for all people. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how high or how lowly you are, this message of Jesus Christ is for you. It is for all people. God's love is on display in the birth of this child, and that display of love is for all people. Regardless of your social status, regardless of your position, regardless of your financial standing, regardless of any nationality, regardless of everything, this is good news, and this is great joy, and it is for all people. And all people includes you. I think the message comes to the bottom because it is meant for everyone who is at the bottom and everyone else who thinks they're not on the bottom. Verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels look these lowly shepherds in the eye, and they tell these shepherds that this Savior, this Christ, this Lord that is born this day in the city of David is born to you." Are you following me this morning? This birth, this Christmas, this reality of what has happened in Bethlehem has been done for you. Do not think this is some abstract, distant, unrelated situation. This entire thing that we celebrate at Christmas, what happened that day, has been done for you. Oh, I'm praying the Holy Spirit will help you get this. No matter who you are, no matter who you're not, no matter what you've done or what you haven't done, the birth of the Messiah is for all of you. If you don't get that, you're going to blow Christmas again. If you don't get that everything God was working, He was working for you, you'll blow Christmas yet another year. Let me put it this way. The angels say, Jesus was born for you. Let me go back. Why did Caesar call for a census? The angels would say, God caused him to call the census for you. Do you get what I'm saying? God is doing it all redemptively for you. He has left nothing undone. He has not spared one thing for you. Jesus Christ was born for you so that He could die for you. And even before you were you, even before you were, here is God providing for your salvation in the person of the Son of God. Number two. Not only do we see here the inclusive nature of the message, but secondly, we see the identifying nature of this message. Who is born this day? Who is wrapped in swaddling clothes? Who is lying in a manger? Who is this baby? The angels say He is the Savior. He is born to deliver. He is born to rescue. He is the Christ. He is the long-awaited and anticipated Messiah. He is the Lord. He is God Himself. He is God come in the flesh to bring salvation to sinners. That's you and me. I want to help you this morning. Can I? COVID-19 is not man's most serious problem. A COVID-19 vaccine is not man's greatest need. If you think it is, you are sadly deceived and mistaken. The greatest announcement that was ever made is not that the FDA has approved the COVID vaccination to be delivered by emergency order. That's not the greatest announcement. You see, our greatest problem is what? Sin. Our greatest need is to be rescued. We have a problem that we cannot solve on our own. We need to be rescued. We need saving. We need someone to come and deliver us. We need to be rescued from our sin. We need a Savior. Why do we need a Savior? Because we have sinned against God. All of us have sinned against God. There is not one of us who has not sinned against God. There's not one of us who has not offended God. There's none of us in this room that are good. No, not one of us. We are not at peace with God. And we can do absolutely nothing to gain peace with God. We are born hostile to God. We are born enemies of God. We are born aliens to the fellowship of God. And God is not indifferent to your sin. God is simply not going to ignore your sins because He's a holy God. And He's a righteous God. And He's a just God. Therefore, He must punish sins. And understand this, every single sin ever committed by every individual will be punished. So what do we need? I need someone to mediate for me. I need someone to make peace with God for me. That's what you need. And God breaks into time and says, I have good news for you. I have news that will bring your heart great joy. This day, for you, in the city of David, a Savior is born. The Christ, the Lord, He will be your righteousness. He will take away your sins. He will take your wrath. He will die in your place. He will rise again as the first fruits to your own resurrection. Now, I want you to get this. Are you ready? Here is the disturbing truth about Christmas. The only reason Christmas is necessary is because of your sin. That's it. That's it. If you do not see yourself as a sinner needing saved, then there is no good news for you. And there is no joy of Christ at Christmas. You have to manufacture it. Say amen. That's what a lot of people are doing, manufacturing joy at Christmas, because they don't see themselves as a sinner and they don't recognize that God has birthed to us a Savior. But if you know how truly bad you are, and if you know that you are absolutely incapable of saving yourselves, if you know how guilty and damned your soul really is, then this announcement made to lowly shepherds, that is for all people, is especially sweet to you, because to you a Savior is born. A Savior has been born for you. I don't know how more to get this to your heart. I don't know how to get it past your ears to your heart. God, do that. Number three. I'm trying. The inclusive nature of the message, these good tidings and great joy, is for all people. The identifying nature of this message, this child that is born is a Savior. He is the Deliverer. He is the Rescuer. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is God. And He has come to bring salvation. There is no other reason for Christmas except that God has brought to you provision for salvation. Number three, the informative nature of this message. So the message of Christmas is not about what you are to do. Say amen. Nothing in the message about what you are to do. It is a message of what God has done for you. Nothing for you to do, nothing for you to buy, nothing for you to accomplish. Christmas is about what God has done for you in the person and the work of Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation. There's nothing here that is in the realm of temporalness. This is spiritualness. Amen. It is an announcement of God's grace, is it not? It is an announcement of what God has done to save sinners from their sins. It is not a message of what you must do to deserve it. It's not a message of what you must do to earn it. It is not a message of what you must do. It is a message of what has been done for you. And you either receive it or you reject it. But you will never, ever deserve it. And you can never, ever. If the angels had come that day to these lowly shepherds and had instructed the shepherds and in consequence to all people that there must be something done for them to earn salvation, or there must be something done or not done to deserve salvation, it would not be good news and it would not be joy. It would be terrible news. And it would be full of sorrow. Why? Because we cannot do anything to save ourselves by our own good works. Because at the end of the day, all of my good works are nothing but heaps of putrid rags. Are you going to go before God and say, "Are you not impressed with my putrid, rotting rags?" The message is what God has graciously done to save sinners like us who deserve His wrath. The message is God has graciously provided for you, Bob, for you, Doris, for you, John, for you, Denise, for you, Jack, for you, Sherry. For you, Ron. For you, Dan. For all of you. God has sent a Savior to those who cannot help themselves, to those of us who cannot save ourselves, to those of us who deserve hell. He has provided for you the Savior. And the Savior is none other than Christ the Lord. And if you die and go to hell, you will trample all over what God has provided for you. There will be no excuse that day. None. Because remember I said all sin will be punished? Either you will spend eternity being punished for your sins, or all of your sins will be punished on Christ. But they all will be punished. He has come to save us from our sins. He has come to save us from the judgment that we deserve. He has come to restore to us peace with God through His substitutionary sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Heavenly host sings, "Glory to God in the highest. Peace. Peace." What kind of peace? Peace with God. That's what Christ brings. Reconciliation of man to God by the removal of the sin and wrath and damnation that is on man. So the shepherds are informed of what? Of a person. Right? Today, this day, today to you is born a what? A child, a baby. And this child, this baby, this person that is born in the flesh, he is
the Savior. He is the Lord. He is Jesus Christ. And this message was not just for them, the shepherds. It is for me. It is for you. We all are invited to come and trust this child. Trust this Son of God. Trust this Savior. Trust this Lord. Trust this Messiah who will deliver you and me from our sins and give to us, all of us, eternal life.
So here's the question. Here's the real question. We started with a question, right? You remember what it was? Why would God include these lowly shepherds in the greatest announcement given in the history of the world? That's not the real question. Here's the real question. Why would God include and why would God include you? Why are we even included? Why are we even invited? That's the question, is it not? That's the question that the world and the flesh and the devil are trying to cover up every single Christmas. God sent a son for you, for all people. And you see, I know me. I know me better than anyone other than God. And I don't know why he would. By his grace, he did. Isn't that the only answer? It is grace, and it is mercy. The answer for why God does all this for me is not in me. It's not in you. God saw no worth in you. You're dust. You're worms. And you're sinful dust and sinful worms. You're rebellious dust and rebellious worms. And yet God does this for you. It is an announcement that for dirty, undone, hell-deserving sinners, there is indeed hope. Isn't Christmas about the hope that we have? And it is hope in the grace and the mercy of God. It is a message for all of ruined humanity that there is peace, there is pardon, and there is eternal glory, and it's yours in Christ. And I think this is my simple thinking. It is an announcement that should leave us with being able to only do what the shepherds did. What did they do? They went away doing what? Glorifying and praising God for all that they have seen. Christmas is wrapped up. You like that? That was a little wrapped up Christmas. Yeah. Christmas is wrapped up in two things. The conviction of our sin and the convincing of God's grace in what He has done to save us. Add anything else to it? You've ruined it. You've ruined it. And all God's people.